Welcome to the Space Case Sarah Show, where we may or may not burst into song and dance at any moment. You just really never know what you signed up for when you decided to hit play on this radio show / podcast production.
It's like a box of chocolates.
Yep, something like that. 2023. So 2022 was a good year, I think, for space and space exploration. But 2023, from what I am reading, and of course, there's always the caveat that not all of these things are going to happen because there are always delays. There are things that crop up that are, something that is weather related, or perhaps it's a technical issue. But 2023 really looks like there's a lot to look forward to. And so I just want to start with the moon, because that's really the big one. And I have to say that this list that I pulled up of like nine exciting, thrilling 2023 space launches, they have like links to the different social media posts that are talking about these different launches. And it's usually from these contracted companies, and like almost every single one of them, I don't know who they are. So not only is it like a booming year for space flight and space launches, but like there's going to be a lot of new players in the game because we're sending so much stuff to the moon in preparation for astronauts to go there and not just visit, go and build a base. So they're going to send things for them in preparation for them to get there and build said base. And so there's suddenly a whole new cast of characters. It's just like, I'm sitting here like, oh, wow, this is like, oh, this is such a great time to do what we do, right?
Even before you said cast of characters, it was making me think of the show For All Mankind. Because that's like, I feel like that's what happened between the seasons. All this stuff of like actually setting up and sending the materials to build the base on the moon. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, it's a new cast of characters. I'm like, yeah, it will be. It'll be a whole new cast of astronauts that are going up there and are actually walking around and doing experiments. And, give me chills.
I know. It's just, I don't know. I don't know really yet if we even fully understand the reality of when that moment happens, how it's going to impact us. But I think a good first step is, the physical, like, of sending things there. That makes it more real. So number one on this list is that a lunar lander is going to study moon dust and more, and that will be launching in March. And again, this is the people who built it are called Intuitive Machines. So I love rovers too. I just think that a rover always is worth celebrating, even if it's going to the moon and not Mars. The rover is supposed to also be, it's going to go up on a SpaceX rocket, and they're going to study regolith, how space weather affects the lunar surface. And I believe, so this is a different one. There's also a lander prepped for future ice mining missions. Like, what?
Oh, yeah. The Prime what? One.
Yeah, and that's also slated for between January through March. And that is made by a company called Astrobotic. Which I'm like, well, I guess I have new people I need to follow on social media. So anyway, like, what are your... what are your thoughts about the like this rover and this probe to study ice mining? Like, what?
It won't be alone. There's going to be rovers sent from multiple countries this year to the moon.
Isn't Japan sending one?
There's also from India
and Russia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
India is up there. It's a do-over for them because they crashed.
I believe it was called a hard landing.
A hard landing with a bunch of tardigrades on it too, wasn't there?
I know that was Israeli one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they're working on setting
which they did officially didn't know about.
No.
Oh yeah, the second mission from Space IL will be delayed. Not delayed. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, planned to be in a couple more years, not in this coming year. But it will also be going to the moon. It'll also be exciting. But no, this the intuitive ones, the polar ice mining mission, super exciting. Like, there is a lot of ice water on the moon, and that will be a key resource for astronauts setting up base there. So that's absolutely super duper exciting.
Oh my god. I'm just reading here too that they want to test a Viper rover, they're calling it, and they want to touch it down on the Lake of Death region. Like,
the Lake of Death?
Lake of Death region, yeah.
Like Mare Morte?
A lava plain in the northeastern part of the moon's near side. So it's in a lava plain called the Lake of Death. Maria?
Lake of Death. That sounds like a fun place. I've, you know, we often like talk or imagine, like in Futurama, the idea of like what it'll look like when people are regularly going back and forth to the moon. I feel like Lake of Death is going to become that place where people have a holiday place. It's like, oh, you also have a holiday place on the moon? Yeah. Where's your place? Lake of Death.
The Lake of Death.
Oh, Lake of Death. Yeah, nice.
The
Aurora. Fancy.
The Lake of Death.
Somebody invested early in whatever mining.
right, yeah. No, we should have an episode just on that, like space tech companies to invest in now, because it's going to be huge in, you know, 2050. Benjamin, you said, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, ignore me.
Oh, Benjamin said you had a good list of different things to look forward to in 2023 as well. Am I missing some of the moon ones here? I'm sure I am.
The Japanese one that's going, it's taking a SpaceX rocket. It's going up in December, so I don't know when it's going to get to.
Okay,
the moon.
So it's got some time.
It's taking a rover by the United Arab Emirates, so it's a nice little joint venture, which is going to be exciting. And speaking of, I was looking for things in ice. The ESA is launching JUICE.
The JUICE! In
April. The JUICE. They're launching
yes,
in April.
Yes, they've got the JUICE coming out to Jupiter.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. It's not going to be there until 2031, but it's launching now. And the hell with Io.
It depends if they go for pee breaks.
No pee breaks. It's going to go to Ganymede, Europa,
and Space Cruise. Yes, that was on the last on the list here, but it's going to go to go by the moons and orbit one in particular, Ganymede.
Mm-hmm. So, it's going to skip Io because screw that place. Oh, vacation in Io? Know? Goodbye.
Yeah, I'll stick with the Lake of Death, thank you. You know what's wild? I just realized that the JUICE mission will be flying around the inner moons of Jupiter at the same time as the Europa Clipper. Can you imagine if we can get a photo of like...
Of Clipper, like...
Yes!
Tasting a plume? Yeah! Like, that'd be amazing. Oh,
that footage, imagine that like you're just seeing Europa and a plume coming out of Europa with Jupiter in the background, and you're just seeing the Europa Clipper just flying through that plume with the background of Jupiter. And we get that whole thing on video.
That'd
be amazing.
That'd be amazing. You know, we kind of jumped to this JUICE and Jupiter and stuff like that, not to take it back to the moon. But you're pointing out something that there was a piece by Bill Nelson that he made a statement. And, you know, when you start pointing out, there is a bit of a space race building here. Little bit. I mean, I'm not saying that in a negative way or a positive way. I'm making the observation. There's a lot of countries aiming at the moon.
Mm-hmm. It's healthy. It's good. I mean, like, both having multiple countries and multiple private organizations aiming for the moon is really good. It's healthy competition. I mean, this is what got us to the moon in the first place. Let's call it a not so healthy competition between the former Soviet Union and the United States. But the results were incredible for space exploration, and the technology developed along the way was great also here on Earth. So I think it's healthy, this competition.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's a great place for just insane international cooperation. So, I mean, right. Everyone's pushing to be the first to send to this, or everyone wants to beat someone else with that. But then, of course, you know, they share the information. No two landers are going to the same places. Everyone's scouting for everyone else. And like I just mentioned earlier, Japan's going to the moon with the UAE rover. I mean, that's two widely different cultures working together. It's great. I love it.
Yeah. And it you know, we've discussed doing an episode on space law. It brings much, much more quickly to the forefront, space law and governing, setting up a system. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. That's pretty much all I have to say on it.
The telescopes that they're going to build on the moon are just going be incredible. Like have we spoken about the radio telescope they're planning to build on the moon?
You did bring that up one time with it built into the crater.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You could talk about it again, though. Go for it.
I mean, I just get so excited about radio telescopes because I spend all of my life dealing with data that comes from radio telescopes, and it's all I have. No, like this this idea.
Is he sitting in a dark room with a red light in the background? It's all I got, guys.
I need this. But like this idea that you're creating an effective telescope the size of the distance between the little, like, smaller telescopes that you're connecting the signals of, right? Like, we've spoken about this before. Like, they have in New Mexico, they have 26 dishes at the VLA, the Very Large Array, and they connect all the signals of these little smaller telescopes and create one big one effectively, digitally. And so, like, they're going to be doing the same thing with a telescope on the moon, connecting the signal between the telescope on the moon, built into the crater, as you said, Sarah, and they'll connect that to telescopes on Earth to make a digital kind of effective telescope that's the size of the orbit of the moon.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Mind blowing.
Yeah. We have big things to look forward to. And this is kind of a timely conversation because I am preparing my PhD application and I have to submit a scholarly article, and I'm writing about the like communications aspect of the Apollo moon landing, because that was, you know, the most watched broadcast in human history at that point. And that unified a planet, not just a country. I mean, there are tones of politics in it, obviously, as you were saying, with the political space race, the Soviets and stuff like that. But when I'm just focusing on the communications aspect of it, I learned, speaking of radios, that broadcast would not have been able to happen had not this dish in Australia be in the right place. And NASA knew that, and they just... It was sort of the backup. And I think it's because Neil and Buzz were so excited, they asked to bump up the timeline to do the spacewalk. And so they were like, oh, shoot, well, we're not going to be in a good spot to get a really good image of Neil walking. So they were like, Honeysuckle, that's the name of that broadcasting station. Like, Honeysuckle, like, you're up. And they're like, oh, my God. Right. You know, and it was like kind of a chaotic moment in broadcasting history. And so there's really like, there's a story that's really cool there about like sort of the collaboration and the slap it together aspect of being able to broadcast live from the moon and then the impact of that. And so it makes me just wonder, like, this return, what is this going to do? I mean, will it have as significant of an impact? Because you have to take into consideration that there are, you know, we have two generations of people now that haven't seen anyone walk on the moon. Is it going to have the same impact? We have better cameras. We have, you know, like, how is it going to be different? I don't know. It's super, as a communications professional, this is like a really exciting, like, I'm really excited.
It's going to be awesome. If anyone,
it's going to be incredible. And just hopping back for a second to what you were saying with the Honeysuckle Creek tracking station in Australia. Mm-hmm. If anyone's interested in that story in kind of like a dramatized version, you have to go see the I think it came out like 20 years ago, the Australian film called The Dish.
Yes, which is, I saw that.
Oh, it's so good. It's basically the story of how these people at the Parkes Murray-Yang radio telescope in Australia were like responsible for transmitting the footage that could only be received by an Australian telescope because of, you know, the alignment and the rotation. Because of the alignment
at the time, yeah.
Yeah. Incredible movie.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Is it? Okay. I will definitely have to look it out. I saw it in my research.
Everybody watch
it. It's fun.
I will.
Z-Dish.
Yeah. I'll watch it. Z-Dish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Z-Dish. All right. We're going to take a break, and then I'm sure Benjamin's got some other cool things possibly for us to talk about what's coming up. We haven't even touched yet Starship. So,
oh, yes.
Yeah. So we're going to continue talking about what we're excited and, you know, maybe what our New Year's resolutions are. Why don't we end it with that in the next segment? So hang on. There's going to be a break, or maybe not a break, depending on what platform you're listening to. But we'll be back. So you are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio.